You've tuned in to the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
You realize what you've done?
With Rich Liebig.
The real gangster plays his cards right.
And Michael Costanzo.
What was that that you just read?
Let us be the crispy noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news.
Good times, noodle salad.
The point is, you now have the ability to be happy.
And now, here's Rich and Mike on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Woo! Yeah! How you guys doing?
What's up, everybody?
It's time for this week's episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Let us be the crispy noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news. Folks, it's our job to give you interesting bits in the world of sports, entertainment, odd news, and whatever else we happen to stumble across. Isn't that right, Mike?
That's right. We bring it to you with our unique sense of humor and wackiness. You never know what you're going to get here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
That's right. We have a couple topics prepared for you, but that doesn't mean we won't go off the beaten path and find new topics and new areas to discuss and explore on this crazy meal for your mind that is the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Thank you guys for joining us. We have a couple of topics to get to on this week's episode. We're going to have an interesting sports segment because the Thursday night football game this week is the Eagles. Tom Brady coming to town. That's going to be interesting. We'll get to that in just a moment. But before we get to all the sports, entertainment, and odd news, Mikey, how you doing, my friend?
I'm doing good, doing good. I had a chance to, I think I talked briefly about playing Kena Bridge of Spirits.
Yes, yeah, you mentioned this.
A week ago. I was able to finish that game. I think I mentioned that it was brutally difficult. I did end up turning the difficulty to easy mode. Because
you got to sometimes.
Some of these games, they're just
too hard.
Very difficult. You know, I'm a decent gamer. You know, I play most games on normal. I don't go for the hard and extra hard and expert and all that stuff. I just like to play things on normal. This game was just really challenging, and it was at times getting frustrating. So I turned it down a little bit. The game was good. It really picked up in the last third of the game. The last quarter of it was very good, very interesting. But I feel like it lacked the focus on the main character that I was looking for. You learn a lot about the secondary characters, and because the role of the main character is to act as a spirit guide for them. So you learn a lot about the secondary characters, their backstory, what drives them, why their spirits are lost and corrupted. But you don't learn a lot about the person you're playing as, which I found quite odd until the end. They started introducing more of the characters.
No character development?
It was weird because it was character development for everyone but the main character.
Okay.
So for this developer's first time making a game, really good showing. Art, animation, audio, everything looked absolutely gorgeous, sounded gorgeous. They just need to learn a little bit better how to, you know, pace their games and fine-tune that difficulty. So there's a more gradual progression instead of a sharp ramp up in difficulty all of a sudden. But overall, not a bad game. I don't know that I would recommend paying the full price for it. You know, if you can find it on sale.
Yeah, is this a sale game?
This, I think, is definitely a for sale game. Like, if you can get it like 15, 20% off, I'd say give it a shot.
I forget what YouTube channel it is. I'm sorry, whoever it is. I'm sorry.
Oh, I know exactly what you're talking about.
They have a segment where it's buy, wait for a sale, or avoid.
Yeah, it's...
I like that. That sounds like a good range.
It's buy, wait for a sale, rent or borrow, and then skip or something. There's like four levels. Yeah,
right.
This is a wait for a sale. So, you know, don't wait
for... That's a good scale for a video game.
It is, because, you know...
Because for most games, I am just waiting for a sale.
Right.
Or borrowing it from you.
Right.
That's like 80% of the games I play.
Yeah.
But every now and then, there is one that I have to get at day one.
Right, like the God of War, The Last of Us, the
Grand Theft Auto,
Bioshock.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you're right. Yep.
So this is firmly in that sale category.
Uh-huh.
I think so. Because, you know, side tangent, when you give a game a numerical rating, which I like to do, I like to give numerical ratings to movies and video games. My definition, like, I give this game like a 7.8. What does that mean to me versus what does that mean to you? But if I say I don't think it's worth the sticker price of, you know, $50, $60, whatever it was, that says something.
Right.
Right? Even if I give it a 7.
But if it goes on sale.
If it goes on sale, yes.
Then
right.
I can understand you enjoyed the game.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So I would say wait for like a 20% price drop if you're interested. If anybody's interested in playing it, don't.
See, that's the real number that matters.
Right, right, yeah.
What is the actual price you should pay for?
Yeah, don't give me out of 10. Give me a percentage off that I should be looking for. Yeah.
Right.
It's 20%.
There you go. Perfect.
But yeah, overall.
You know, it's funny. I'm kind of like that with movies now.
Yeah.
Now that they're starting to stream movies.
Well, you told me wait for Black Widow.
Yeah, Black Widow was one.
It finally came out. I watched the first third of it. Did not get a chance to finish it yet, but I'll let you know.
Yeah, so I said for Black Widow, I wanted to go back to the movie theater because that was the first movie we saw post-pandemic.
Right.
So that was kind of more the reason why I bought the tickets for it.
Right.
But if that was in its own thing and not held in the culture, I would say that one was a wait for it to come out on Disney Plus.
Yeah, yeah.
So yeah, that's funny. I'm kind of adapting that to now movies.
I like it. It's a good scale.
Yeah.
It's a you know, see or buy immediately, wait to see or buy, you know, borrow it if you can, or pirate it, stream it, whatever you want to say.
Yeah, pirate it.
And then skip it outright. I think that's a good scale.
Yeah. So there you go. The official Crispy Noodle Media scale. That's what we're going to go with now.
I like it. We should do it. I'll still give numbers because I love numbers. But.
There you go.
But anyway, that's what I was getting up to. Rich, what were you up to recently?
I guess. So the thing I did, I saw Malignant. It was on HBO Max.
Okay. What is that?
It was the new horror film from James Wan. He did like The Conjuring and... Insidious.
Okay.
So he had like a track record for decent horror flicks.
Is this another thing in the no. Conjuring universe? No.
No, this is okay. Completely separate.
Okay.
And yeah, that was another one. I was like, I'm glad I didn't pay money for this. I'm glad that was.
You're glad it was a streaming HBO Max deal.
Yeah.
Ooh, that's not good.
Yeah.
For someone to say that about a horror movie, because horror movies usually, correct me if I'm wrong, have a slightly more forgiving scale.
A little bit. Yeah, so I mean, that's why I won't say it's not, like...
horrible.
Right. But at the same time, it was a little cringy.
Ooh.
Like...
It's bad if you're saying horror is cringy.
Yeah, some things just didn't work in that film.
Okay.
And some things were... It seemed like it was shot for comedy for some elements of that I won't get into.
Okay. Now I'm kind of curious.
Yeah. It is. It is a curious beast.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, now I really want to watch it because now I'm really wondering. Like, what do you mean it was shot for comedy? Don't dive into it too much. But that's an interesting statement for a horror movie.
So I guess the thing I'm thinking of off the top of my head is like they keep showing the exterior of the building that the unfortunate woman, you know, that is the victim of these attacks. It's a spiritual attack thing,
right?
And monster attack. Like, it's. I don't want to get into it because I don't want to spoil it.
Right.
But they keep showing the exterior of her house, and it's like this old, creepy Victorian house. And okay. It's like, if that's the house you live in, no wonder you're praying, you're susceptible to all these attacks. Get the F out of there.
You're like, I wonder why I'm being haunted, and the house is like built on top of like a graveyard or something.
It's like this, yeah, dark three-story building, and like it's very slim, and it doesn't. It already just doesn't look right.
Right.
It's like, you know what it is? It's like one of those decisions where it's like, we need something creepy to establish the shot. Let's get this creepy house. But it doesn't make sense in terms of the plot if this woman who was completely normal before she started getting these attacks, you know, like, why would you move into that house in the first place?
Right. Yeah. Why would you? Yeah.
Like it doesn't make any sense when you think about the plot logistically.
Okay.
You get what I'm saying? Like.
Yeah. Yeah.
But like from a film from like a film producer or filmmaker, it's like, oh, we need something spooky. Get that exterior image of the spooky house. Okay. But then why did you move in there to begin with?
Right.
So you know, it's like it's stuff like that when you think about the movie.
They're going off a checklist instead of what makes sense.
Yeah, it didn't make sense.
Okay.
So, I don't know. Anyway, if you want to...
glowing reviews.
Yeah, if you want to...
Is that a skip or a stream if you're extremely bored?
Yeah, stream if you're extremely bored.
Okay.
Yeah, because it's weird.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
That's the best way I can describe that.
That is a glowing review for Malignant.
Woo! Okay, so that's what I did. But I did a lot of sports things because There's a lot of football to watch over the weekend. So let's get into all the sports news with the sports sampler.
So you're not good at sports. It's a very small part of life.
Sports, 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 sports.
In your face.
Sports coming at you in your face. Before we get into the two-minute drill, I wanted to say I watched the Penn State game randomly.
Okay.
I'm not usually too much of a college football fan. There's just too many teams that it gets crazy.
Yeah.
And I don't like how the four-team college football playoff system is set up.
No, it's more now, isn't it?
It will be, but not yet. Oh, they got a.
There's bastards.
Yeah, it's not yet.
Okay.
But something that you would have been just furious and frustrated at during that Penn State game, the starting quarterback got hurt.
Okay.
And they brought in this backup, and he literally committed like 15 false start penalties.
The quarterback?
Yeah.
15? Are you exaggerating, or was it like...
I may not be exaggerating. It was definitely like double digits. He did it constantly.
What was he doing to false start?
He didn't call the play. He didn't do the hike.
Why can't I think of the snap count? I was like, what is the
Boy,
word?
Now I'm getting a false start.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, he didn't do the snap count right.
Jesus.
So, I don't know.
It's really hard for a quarterback to false start because he's kind of the guy that makes the play start. Like, when centers and quarterbacks get a false start penalty, you really messed up.
Well, this guy did it, like, at least 10 times. It definitely was double digits.
Man, that's
bad. It was
bad.
Frustrating.
That's really bad.
So, the only thing I thought of, like, maybe Mike would love to watch this game. See.
I'd probably be losing it.
Yeah. Anyway, it's a good thing we're not Penn State fans. Anyway, Hey, man, look, we just support the Eagles. That's all we know how to do.
That's right.
Before we get into the Eagles, let's do another topic in 2 minutes or less with the two-minute drill. You ready, Mike?
Sure.
Wow. glowing recommendation there. I'm going to have to isolate that. Anyway, here we go. It's time for the two-minute drill. What do you have for us, Mike?
Well, I'm speechless because this week in the two-minute drill, we're talking about John Gruden and the disaster surrounding the former Las Vegas Raiders head coach. That's right. John Gruden resigns as Las Vegas Raiders head coach after emails of his surface of him using the unholy trinity of racist, homophobic, and misogynistic remarks dating back as far as 2010. That's right. Over the course of a decade, John Gruden sent numerous emails laced with obscenities and profanities targeting everyone from female refs to the NFL concussion protocol to Roger Goodell to black executives in the NFL. I mean, he literally targeted as many individuals, groups, and movements as humanly possible. By all accounts, he's kind of a monster.
Oh, yeah. He's a full-blown dick.
Yeah.
He lost any sort of reputable standing with this scandal. When the news story first broke on Monday, I think a lot of people just assumed that it was because of, just like a simple simple dig that he made at some people or something. But the news story that started to come out as Monday night went into Tuesday, each one got worse and worse between the racism, the homophobia, then the link to the Washington football
That's
team
right.
with the cheerleaders.
With the cheerleaders and the pictures.
Oh, my gosh. It was literally, it just spiraled out of control, and there was no tenable position that he was going to keep that job. He had to quit.
He had to quit. It's interesting, though, that all of this is coming out because the NFL is investigating the Washington football team and everything that happened with them that we reported on previously.
Yep.
So get ready for it to get even crazier.
There you go, Washington. You screwed everybody. Congratulations. There you go. Somehow they did it.
The Washington football team took down John Gruden.
Somehow.
Who's next?
Yeah, who's next in this email probe?
Oh, man. I don't know.
Yep.
But anyway.
Yep.
We'll keep you guys updated on that, but we have to get to the big topic at hand. The Philadelphia Eagles faced off against the Carolina Panthers this past weekend, and despite everything that we thought was going to happen, they actually won.
Oh, good for you!
Why, yes. though? Why can't... I mean, I've fully embraced the concept of a tanking season. I don't know why the Eagles haven't.
Right now, we're on track to get 3 top 8 picks. Just let it happen, Eagles. Just let it happen.
No, it's not going to happen. They're going to at least try to win a couple games.
So what did happen?
What did happen?
Game? Yeah.
So basically, the Eagles played like crap during the first 3 quarters of this game. And then a punt block just turned the fortune of this game. A very fortuitous, a very lucky punt block just changed the entire momentum from the Panthers to the Eagles. And all of a sudden, the Eagles had all the momentum. They had a short field, drove for a touchdown, then another touchdown to take the lead. And the Panthers had a chance to tie. They could have kicked a field goal to force overtime, but Sam Darnold threw a costly interception and lost the game. And the Eagles come out of Carolina with a win. But I would not be too thrilled about this game because for the first 3 quarters of this game, the offense looked stagnant at best. They still were not moving down the field. No running. Apparently, this is a team that's just going to refuse to run the ball. You have Miles Sanders, not going to use him.
I don't understand. In a game where Jalen Hurts can't eclipse more than 200 yards passing, throws an interception, gets sacked a couple times, still, outside of Jalen Hurts himself, the Eagles only put up, if I'm reading this correctly, about 60 rushing yards. I mean, they're not running nearly enough with the type of offensive line that they have and the running back that they have. On the other side of the football, they give up over 100 yards to Carolina on the ground.
Yeah, this is a game, if you looked at the stats, you would have said Panthers won this game outright.
Yeah, I mean, it's not that great from the Eagles' standpoint. I mean, Jalen Hurts had a very pedestrian showing. Just looking at the stat line, I didn't get a chance to watch this game because I was running errands and I get in the car, I turn on the radio and all I hear is, Carolina gets a safety and I'm like, all right. And I turn it off. I'm like, it's going to be one of those games. Then I come back and they actually won and I was shocked to see that they won. But, to your point, it doesn't seem like they really had that great of a showing.
No. The only good things to note other than the punt block was the defense had a couple of key consistent stops on third down to stop Carolina from scoring touchdowns. A lot of their drives where they were gathering momentum ended with field goals and punts. So that's what kept the game closed. But I still think overall this was not a good game for the Eagles. There was another thing too, still way too many penalties that this team commits. And usually when a team commits too many penalties, that's coaching. And I know we want to give Nick Sirianni some forgiveness because this is his first time being a head coach, but at some point the buck's got to stop with him. He needs to rein these guys in because they're committing stupid false starts, offsides, illegal shifts. Like, it's just getting annoying.
These are discipline penalties.
Yeah, they're not like in the game.
Right, it's not like in the game you accidentally drive a guy out of bounds or you hit a quarterback a little bit late. These are discipline things. You know, being able to stand your ground and not jump off sides or false start. Like, these are coaching type penalties. So you're right. He does need to get a grasp of that there. 6 penalties for 60 yards. It's not a great showing by the Eagles. I also saw a stat that the Eagles this year have had 5 touchdowns taken away by penalties.
Yep.
So when you
and
have,
they had one in this game too taken away.
When you have touchdowns being taken away by penalties, you cannot win games. I know we won this one, but eventually, I'm saying eventually, like we have a shot this season. But at some point, it's going to end up being the difference maker in a game. Just really, really lackluster. Even with the wind, lackluster. And going back to the running thing, I'm looking here that the Eagles giving up so much time of possession. I mean, the Panthers had, 11 more minutes of
game time
than the Eagles did. It's going to be really tough to win games with a rookie head coach and a second-year quarterback when you're only on the field for, 25 minutes. You need to control the clock, especially when we have an offense that's geared around these tight ends and these running backs. I know we have the flashy wide receivers, but Jalen Hurts has been struggling to get them the ball. So why don't you lean into your tight ends and into your running backs? I don't understand the hesitance to use them. it's just really baffling play calls.
Yep. But hopefully with all that information, you can see how just a simple punt block late in the fourth quarter kind of switched the game on its head, and the Eagles got the momentum, came back, win it in the fourth quarter. But unfortunately, I want to put a button on this with this statement, and I think it's pretty true. This is a game the Eagles did not win. The Panthers lost.
Yeah.
The Panthers really should have had this game. Between all the stats that you mentioned, between the fact that they were in control this game for the first three quarters of this ball game, and just let a silly mistake in the fourth quarter, a punt block, just go through their protection, and bam, that's it. That's all they needed to start unraveling, and then a key interception by Sam Darnold on the final drive to put it in the books. This is a game the Panthers lost. The Eagles did not win this one.
Yeah. Unfortunate, but it's the way
only the Eagles could pull out a win, and it's still like kind of like meh. I'm not like excited
because the Panthers aren't really, you know, they're better than the Eagles, but they're not really a high quality opponent.
Yeah,
you know, we saw how things were when we played Dallas. We saw how things were when we played the Chiefs. When you play tougher opponents, you know, the Eagles kind of snuck away lucky here, but it's not going to work that way.
Yeah, how often can you rely on a punt block?
Right, exactly. You can't rely on, you know, once a season type things, you know?
Yep.
You need to have consistency, and right now the Eagles don't have much.
Well, speaking of looking towards consistency, one thing you can count on is that every week during the NFL season, we are going to give you four games that we think you should keep an eye out for in the upcoming week, the week slate of video game of football. I want to play video games. That's really
we are not doing well mentally this week, Rich.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, the point is, it's time for Fantastic Four picks. So let's launch into it. Get the techno music going. I'll be over here playing video games. You just take care of it, Mike.
You go play video games. I'll talk about the first game that we got here. We have Futility Watch Across the Pond.
Oh, yeah, I'm really going to play video games. Yeah, this is a stupid London game. Bye.
Oh, and it is stupid. These teams have a combined 1-9 record. It's the Miami Dolphins traveling to the Jacksonville Jaguars in London.
You can watch football early Sunday morning.
I was creating the rundown. I said, wow, why do they have these two teams playing at 9:30 in the morning? I was like, I know they suck, but that's just harsh, NFL. Then I realized this is...
That should be a real penalty.
It is. It basically is. That's why the Jaguars always play in London, because they ship the worst teams over there.
That should be a real penalty.
You had to play first thing in the morning.
Yeah.
But, Rich, who's going to come out on top here early in the morning? Will it be the Miami Dolphins or the Jacksonville Jaguars? Fun note here, the Dolphins rank in the bottom three in every single measurable on offense and defense so far.
Well, we talked about the problems with Urban Meyer last week, that he's lost control of the locker room. And
do you think he'll be in London with the team?
I hope so.
it's not that shocking of a question. Do you think he'll come home?
That's the better question. He may not be coming home. They may leave his ass in London.
If the Jaguars lose, they might.
Yeah, because he's on the verge of going 0-6 with a roster that's not exactly depleted of talent.
Right. They were supposed to be doing a lot better.
Yeah. So, unfortunately, I think this may be the nail in the coffin. I think they lose this one to the Dolphins, and then the Jaguars, are they actually going to fire their coach in London?
Yo, that would be awesome. And I'm going to pick the Dolphins just because I want to see that happen.
It could.
I want to see the Jags lose in London after the coaching controversy, and then them just be like, you know what?
Stay
here for a nice little vacation. We're going to head back to Jacksonville without
you. We're going to leave you behind. Take that.
Yeah. Man, the Jaguars, what a fall from, you know, what was supposed to be, like we talked about last week, a decent season for this team. Supposedly, you know, on the upswing, and it's not happening.
Nope.
I think the Dolphins have a shot here to capitalize on that controversy and to put another loss in the Jaguars lose column.
Yep, I think so as well.
Well, let's shift over to something exciting. We have a good old-fashioned shootout here between two of the top offenses in the league this year. The Arizona Cardinals are traveling to Cleveland to face off against the Browns. Who would have thought I'd be saying a shootout with the Browns? But that's where we're at, Rich, in the history of the NFL. The Browns, one of the top-ranked offenses. The Cardinals, not far behind. Who do you think takes this one?
Normally, in a game like this, I would say go with the home team. And Cleveland is a very good squad. But something that's bothering me is the fact that they have now had two games so far this season where they've had a double-digit lead going into the fourth quarter, and they've lost it, including a big one last week that really hurt their momentum and their chances of, you know, trying to win the division. I'm going to go with just who do I trust more from what I've seen so far. I trust the Cardinals more than the Browns. They gotta fix that. You can't lose a 10-point lead in the fourth quarter like that. It's inexcusable. Good teams don't do that.
Right. And you know what? I've been enjoying the Cardinals so far this year. I've picked them, you know, I think for most of the weeks that we've featured them. And I don't think this week is going to be any different. They are scary good right now, and teams cannot find solutions to them on offense. The Browns have a pretty stout defense, but part of me thinks they're going to be reeling from that loss. I mean, that was a tough loss that they experienced. It was a close game and a tough loss. Why change tactics here? I went with the Cardinals last week. I'm going to go with the Cardinals again this week.
There you go.
I'm going with the Cardinals. And next up, we have an AFC playoff preview. We have the Buffalo Bills traveling to Tennessee to face off against the Titans. It's a Monday night game. Rich, who do you think's taking this one?
Buffalo. Right now, until I see something different, Buffalo is my favorite to win the AFC. They are looking unstoppable. Everything is clicking. Josh Allen is looking like the best quarterback in the league. This team is just firing on all cylinders. Ride the hot hand. Go Buffalo. I am all in. Until I see another major flaw with this team, I think they're the favorite to win the AFC. I like the Bills. They're just looking unstoppable.
Yeah, you know what? I agree. The Tennessee Titans, you know, they've been good the past couple of years. But the Bills are on another level here. Just like the two teams we just featured, they're one of the top 10 offenses. But they also have the league-best defense right now as well. Stats don't tell the whole story, but they tell part of the story.
They have probably the best safety core in the league.
Yeah.
They are shutting down any sort of vertical threats.
Yep.
They are a top pass defense.
And look, just like
not get the air raid going on.
Right, exactly. And just like I said with the Cardinals, why change tactics now? The Bills and the Cardinals, I think right now are the two top teams in the NFL. So I'm gonna go with the Bills here against the Tennessee Titans. I think these have been pretty easy picks so far, but maybe this last one will give us a little bit of a pause here, Rich. It's the hometown team. Tampa Bay Buccaneers are coming to Philadelphia to face off against the Eagles. Tell me, do the Eagles stand a chance against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers?
Okay, so here's what's going to happen.
Oh, boy.
Because if I say the Eagles, then I doubt Brady, and Brady will win.
Right.
If I say Brady, then the Eagles are going to be doubtful, and then the Eagles are going to win.
Okay.
So Brady. I'm sorry. I can't see the Eagles keeping pace with the Buccaneers. I really can't. Tom Brady is having, what now, the fourth stage of his NFL Hall of Fame career?
He is timeless. He is ageless. He is, I don't know what he is.
Yeah.
Not real. I think they swapped him out with a robot a few years back.
Yeah. He just won't stop.
Can't stop, won't stop.
Yeah. So, sure, Brady.
You know, there is one team that always has success against Brady. It's the Philadelphia Eagles. That's why I'm choosing Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
There you go.
I mean, what did you think I was going to say? The defending Super Bowl champs versus the Eagles with a rookie head coach and a second-year quarterback? Shut up. It's the Bucs.
All right, there you go. That's our fantastic four picks for week number six. I forgot what week it was.
Are we okay to do the rest of the show?
I don't know. We may not be. We're already coming apart here at the Sports Sampler. But there you go. That's the fantastic four picks for week number six of the NFL season. Yeah, I gotta admit, this has been a weird year already for the NFL, and we're not even halfway through it.
No, we got one more week of this, too. It's 17 games this year.
Yeah, so, yeah, the party keeps going.
Do you think the NFL will survive?
Oh, yeah, the NFL will survive. I just don't know what the final form it will look like it will be.
It's going to be chaos.
Yeah.
I feel like one extra week of this is just really going to drive people over the edge.
Yeah, well, we'll have to wait and see which one of us goes over the edge first.
It'll be me.
It might be you. It might be me. I don't know. It depends on how crazy this gets and if Brady goes back to the Super Bowl again. Because he may.
There's a chance. Bills and Cardinals.
Yeah. But right now, we got to take a break. We need to at least try to recover somewhat here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast. But don't go anywhere because we still have the entertainment entree and then the non-fortune cookie odd news still to come. We'll be right back here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Ready for the weekend? Happy Friday. Hi, my name's Marie, and I'm an artist who's been making Happy Friday doodles every week for over 7 years. And now you can own my art collection in this Volume 1 and Volume 2 art series. These doodles span across multiple themes, yearly festivities, various countries, languages, and more. Both coffee table books have something for everyone and are the perfect conversation starter or gift for a friend. Really, anyone who enjoys a good weekend. Available on Amazon, Ingram, BookBaby, Barnes & Noble, and more. Visit happyfridaydoodles.com/books and get your copies today. Let's celebrate the best day of the week. Happy Friday.
Don't be a big stupid jellyfish. Keep on listening to the Crispy Noodle. I'm Commander Shepard, and this is my favorite podcast on the Citadel. What? Reapers are back. I should go.
Oh, yeah, we're back here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast. We barely survived the sports sampler, which I don't know. I don't know if this means we're going to make it to the end of this recording.
I don't know.
Yeah.
You'll have to stick around to find out.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how. Somehow we will get to the end of the podcast, but
limping and banged up, but we'll do it.
Yeah, we just need a punt block. That's all we need.
We just need something to turn it around.
Yeah, here we go. Punt block time.
Woo!
Woo! I don't know what else you do for a punt block on a podcast.
You say woo.
Woo! Yeah, try and mess the punter up. But now it's time to get into the segment where we go over movies, TV, and video games. It's time for the entertainment entree.
And now, the latest in movies.
The Simpson guy writes to movies. Dear Die Hard. Rock, especially when that guy was on the roof.
Music.
I know what that is. That's music.
Video games.
I'm Commander Shepard, and this is my favorite store on the Citadel.
Celebrities.
You really know Warren Beatty?
Yes, I do. I took a leak next to him once at the Golden Globes.
And more.
You were the all-singing, all-dancing crap of the world.
This is the Entertainment Entree.
All right, entertainment entree time, and we're going to go over the segment where Mike is going to let you know what you should keep an eye out for this upcoming weekend. There's a couple things on the docket, but there's one in particular that I will definitely be excited about, so let's launch into it. Mike's This Week in Entertainment. All right, Mike, what do you got?
All right, this week in entertainment, we have two, count them, two television shows that you should keep an eye out for. The first is You, not you as in the viewer, but you, the
you.
TV show. You! Watch You!
You!
On Netflix.
We're going to watch You!
We're watching You.
How do you like that? You that's, bastards!
It's kind of what the show is about.
You're watching me? Well, I'm going to watch you.
I'm watching you watch them watch you.
You!
Anyway, You is returning to Netflix this Friday. This psychological thriller follows the life and story of a stalker as he narrates about his toxic obsessions, crime sprees, and neurosis. Rich, you're creeping everyone out, including me.
It's you!
The show captivates by giving the audience a deep look into the mind of someone who views relationships, love, and sacrifice through a warped and twisted lens as the main character constructs ways to pull him and his targets closer together. It's a really interesting show. The second season was a little cringy, but you gotta stick around for the wild plot twists and the absurd just thriller aspect of it and how everything is tied together in the end. So I'm eager to start watching season three and see what it's all about. So definitely go check out You this Friday on Netflix. But the big show that I think Rich and I are more looking forward to is the big drama returning to HBO this Sunday at 9 p.m. Succession.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. I've waited so long.
And this theme. Oh, so good.
I have waited so long for season three. We all have, all of us that are fans of Succession. I put a gun to my head. I will say to you, this is the best show on TV right now. Absolutely, without a doubt.
You know, it took me a while to get into it, but I absolutely agree. Succession is one of the best shows out there right now. You gotta love the family drama, the weird humor, the sick, perverted storylines that are happening, and just the cutthroat viciousness of these characters and how there's really no saving... There's no...
They're all assholes.
They're all assholes. Yeah, I mean, there's no, like, likable characters, but at the same time, they're all very damaged characters that have very slight redeeming qualities, but then they just undo them by their, you know, insidious behavior. Yeah, it's just, it's really, really top-notch drama on
yes.
HBO.
And
but it's funny, too.
It's funny. It's got everything you want. One-liners, catchphrases, but also serious drama, serious stakes. And we're still left with the question, who will succeed from the family? It'll be interesting to find out on season three starting on Sunday. I cannot wait. This has been a long time coming, especially coming out of the pandemic.
Yeah.
I've waited so long. I want it here. It's officially here. I can't wait. I've blocked out Sunday. Nobody's interrupting me on Sunday. I'm watching Succession.
Absolutely. I concur. I definitely got to check it out on Sunday as well. That's what we're looking forward to this week in entertainment. But Rich, moving away from television, there's also something that we got to talk about. You mentioned it briefly earlier in the podcast. You mentioned how people were getting back to movies.
Yep.
And one of your first movies back was Black Widow because you wanted to see the next big Marvel release. But I know that the movie you were really looking forward to was a little indie flick, you know, not very big. It sort of, you know, it sort of falls by the wayside a lot of times. I think the name is James Bond.
Yes.
Oh, okay. I wanted to make sure I got that right.
That is correct. We hit the theater to go see No Time to Die. I think before we get into the fanfare and everything, I think we should warn everybody for spoilers.
Oh, yeah. Definite spoilers.
Here you go. Your official spoiler warning.
It's a spoiler. Ooh, it's a spoiler. Don't listen. Go away.
I love that.
Go away.
I love that spoiler sound effect. I will play that every chance we get to. But no, without further ado, let's go into the fact that we got to see No Time to Die, the latest Bond movie. We are back on the Bond train. I can now officially say again that I've seen all the Bond movies, all 25 of them now.
I can say I've seen like maybe 7 or 8.
Woo! There you go. So, yeah, this is the last one for Daniel Craig. And boy, did he make sure that it was going to be the last one, because this is not a universe where agents come back from the dead.
You just dropped that bomb there did in the movie.
We played the spoiler music, so you better have heed the warning, because if you pick up my drift and connect the dots there, you will deduce that we have learned that Daniel Craig's Bond is officially dead. The first time ever that a Bond has died in a movie. So this is whole new ground, whole new territory. Also, it's just the revelation that in this movie that he has a child. That was an interesting wrinkle in this that we always kind of knew behind the scenes. He's banging all these women. It's about time one of them finally produced a kid.
Especially back in the 60s and 70s, you know that he definitely left a couple of kids out there somewhere.
Yeah, they're out there somewhere. So we had that. And then on top of that, I felt like this movie also kind of killed off all of the supporting characters through the Daniel Craig movies as well. It killed off Felix Leiter. It killed off the new Blofeld, which was Christoph Waltz. Mr. White was already dead, but he was a supporting player. I felt like between this movie, Spectre, and you know the continuing storyline that they tried to interweave between the five Craig movies, this really is like, that's it. This is done. This story is done, which is good and bad. It's good because, you know, this is kind of the first time that a Bond actor really kind of had his moment to actually say farewell and to direct his farewell. Unfortunately, the last couple of Bonds never had a chance to. Pierce Brosnan was fired, essentially. After how bad Die Another Day was received. Timothy Dalton never got a third chance after he finished License to Kill. And Roger Moore, he was just really getting too old and creepy. That was, you know, he was 60 when they were shooting the last one, and it was kind of like... Yeah.
Not really like a playboy spy anymore, more like a creepy old guy sitting in the park.
Right. Trying to bang 20-year-olds, which is kind of weird.
No, you got to keep the age disparity somewhat reasonable.
Right. So the last couple of Bonds never really had their true, like, you know, goodbye moment. They never had they never had a moment to have their farewell, and Craig had it with this movie. So he's lucky in that aspect. But unfortunately, we were discussing this after the movie we saw. I kind of feel like that. You know, that was the good part about it, but the kind of bad slash convenient part of it is that is the perfect fodder ground, in my opinion, to do a hard reset, because literally everybody else is dead.
Yeah.
Everybody, pretty much No Time to Die actually meant everyone has time to die, because everybody in this movie died.
They had a lot of time to die.
Yeah, there was a lot of time to die. And also, it was the longest Bond movie, too, so everybody had significant amount of time to die. So I don't know, you know, and also it's not, it's not like a surprise either, because that is kind of how this rolls, that when there's a new actor, it's kind of a new regime, a new feel, new supporting characters. So it's not out of the question, but I kind of feel like with Bond dying, it's officially now like, oh, okay, like, duh, like this is the perfect way to you know, have a fresh start, and whoever gets the Bond role in Bond 26, you know, it's their, you know, they start from scratch.
Yeah.
And you know they're going to do another Bond movie. That's that. Don't tell me that. There were a couple people who are saying, oh, are they going to do another Bond movie? Yeah, they're going to do another Bond movie.
Well, who's saying they're not going to do another Bond movie?
A couple people on the internet.
They don't know what they're talking about. Look, James Bond, MGM, was bought out by Amazon. They're absolutely going to do another Bond movie.
Yeah.
Which, interesting side point, did you know that this movie needs to gross about $800 to $850 million worldwide just to break even? MGM did not handle this movie correctly
at all. And that's why they got bought.
But that's a review of their finances. But we're talking about the movie here. So, Rich, as a diehard Bond fan, obviously you were enthusiastic about the movie. You enjoyed it. Me, as a more casual observer of action films, it was fun. I don't think I got as much out of it as you did. I think that my big problem with the Bond films, and this has always been my problem, is that I get that this is why people like them, and this is exactly why I'm not a huge fan. they're very isolated and serialized and very separated from each other. And the one time they try to make a continuing storyline, they slam the door on it shut immediately. At the very end here, they introduce, in the last two movies, they introduced long-lost family members and love interests and,
yeah,
quote-unquote, maybe questionably, question mark, kids, we don't know. And, like, then all of a sudden, they just shut it all down. So what was the point? Why cram all of this extra character into the last movie and a half to then just kill it off and end it? It seemed very shallow to me and somewhat unnecessary at times to introduce all this extra weight and gravitas.
Well, definitely, Inspector. It was one thing when...
But why introduce a kid in the 11th hour?
Yeah, I don't know. I think that was just to have, like, kind of that moniker, you know, because they never had a kid before in the Bond movies. So,
okay, but I don't know.
We're breaking new ground!
Okay, Red Letter Media.
Breaking new ground over here! But, yeah, the thing with Blofeld being Bond's half-brother... That was so dumb, Inspector.
They
groaned at that.
They
was
made
like,
some
really?
Weird choices in the last two movies. And also, the plot was also, I mean, it. James Bond plots are always kind of just convoluted and all over the place. And this one was no different. The action sequences were a lot of fun. The set pieces were breathtaking, as one would expect. But strung together very loosely, and it seemed like, I don't know, not enough stakes for me. Like, I never quite grasped, like, really, you know, why it all mattered.
The daughter didn't do anything for you?
I mean, it's because here's the thing. There's no... It's not like he's like, oh, I wish I had a kid, or maybe I have a kid and I've just never been able to connect with them. Now it's like, guess what? You have a kid. It's like, okay, we're like an hour and a half into this film. You know, it's kind of like, or, you know, whatever it was. It was nearly a 3-hour film, which is, you know, another critique of mine. You know, I don't like the longer films unless it's called Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
But I think that really is at the heart of the problem here is I'm drawn to properties that have substantial world building and have a sense of time and place and setting. And I think that's what really does not jive with me for these action films is that you don't really get a sense of it. I was really excited to see, you know, the potential for the 007 moniker be passed down to someone else and maybe, you know, see something where they're broadening the universe where now, you had mentioned at the theater, maybe you bring back older James Bonds and they like mentor the young guys. And I'm like, that seems interesting to me. That seems unique.
So this is why I say that, because in the movie Skyfall, the old man that they call him Kincaid, the old man that is at the Skyfall estate,
right,
was actually supposed to be Sean Connery. And that would have been awesome. They were trying to lure him out of retirement heavily for him to play that role. That would have been amazing. My jaw would have hit the floor in the movie theater if that was the case. But Sean Connery, being the kaiju old bastard he was, he never wanted to reprise the role again. But that idea always kind of stuck with me, that would have been a cool way to keep kind of the legacy of these films alive.
It would have added depth to the story as well.
Like, not necessarily, maybe, you know, obviously you can't have Daniel Craig and Pierce Brosnan and Timothy Dalton in their 50s, 60s, and 70s, respectively, you know, in the middle of the field. But you could have them be like a new position within MI6,
right,
that they're kind of these legacy teachers or something, and they would teach the new Bond. I thought that would have been a great way to spin this off. Maybe not with Daniel Craig, because obviously he's had enough of the franchise, but maybe like a Pierce Brosnan, like maybe he could have been like a teacher to whoever the new... You know, whoever ends up being the new Bond. But obviously now, with them willing to kill Bond off, you can't have that.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of disappointed now. My Bond legacy plot line has been destroyed. they can't do that. So.
Yeah.
anyway, in terms of the actual movie, it was decent. Like you said, the action was very good. Daniel Craig himself is still pulling off all these scenes at a older age. He's not the oldest Bond, but at the same time, he's getting up there. I really like the Felix Leiter character in this movie. I forget the actor that played him in this movie and in Casino Royale. But he was fantastic. This was a solid movie. I don't know if it cracks the top 10 of Bond movies, because we are dealing with 25 Bond movies.
Yeah, that's a lot of movies.
I think it kind of hovers at the 10 to 15 range. I don't know if it cracks the top 10.
Okay.
It's good, I had my fun, but I don't know if this is a movie that sticks around in terms of prestigiousness.
Yeah. You know, I can't give it a ranking because I haven't seen all the Bond movies. But for me, just from a strictly film perspective, as, you know, a casual observer of Bond movies, this is a good balance whenever we review things where one of us is a diehard and one of us is more of a casual observer.
Yeah.
Because, you know, when I watched this movie, I thought, okay, so No Mai doesn't matter. The new 007 literally does not matter. That was literally just hype to get internet neckbeards angry.
Well,
do you think she's going to be the next 007?
No, do you think that maybe her role was going to be bigger and maybe due to all the backlash they cut some of her scenes out?
Maybe, because literally, what role did she serve?
At the end of the day, she's just antagonizing Bond.
Yeah. So what role
like,
did she...
I took your number.
So here's my issue. What role does she serve? What role does the child Gambit serve? What role does, you know, what's his name, Blofeld being related to him serve? Like, they introduce all these elements that are very shallow and not fully developed or thought out. You know, as an action film, if you're in it for the car chases and the explosions and the action sequences, yes, absolutely. You know, it works in that regard. But all these other elements, I was just left asking, okay, like, why? And to what end?
Yeah.
If I'm looking at it from a strictly story perspective. Obviously, that's not really why people watch Bond. I get that. I get that I am, like, not the target audience for Bond because it's just never jived with me in that same way. But that was my reading of the film. It was also way too long.
Yeah, well, it was definitely a little longer than I thought it was going to be.
You said, though, it didn't feel like a 2-3/4 hour movie for you.
Yeah, I kind of enjoyed the runtime, but I could see where you're coming from, especially if you're not digging like the action scenes and stuff like that.
Yeah. So I guess here, if we go back to our scale from earlier in the episode.
Yeah, that's right.
So for me, it was a wait to stream it type movie. I don't think seeing it in theaters is necessary. You know, if you're in it for the action, you're going to enjoy it. If you're in it for the story, probably look elsewhere. Rich, where would you place this on your ranking? I think I know, but you tell everyone where you think.
I think if you're a Bond fan, go see it in the theaters. If you're casual, like you're not sure about it, then you could probably wait till it comes out streaming.
Yeah.
And in terms, like I said before, and in terms of the legacy of all the Bond movies, I think if you put a gun to my head and told me where to rank it, I think it falls probably between the 10 and 15 range. I don't think it's good enough that it'll crack the top 10
so
when
not,
all said and done.
Not bad.
But it's not bad
but
either.
But also not one of the best.
Right. I still enjoyed it. I still had a good time. I still think Daniel Craig is probably going to go down as
probably
the
one
second,
of the best.
Second or third best Bonds. But, you know,
you're grappling with something, Rich, here. Get it off your chest. What's the problem here?
So part of the problem, and I don't want to get into, like, weird culture things here.
Okay.
But, like, part of the traditional Bond movie is that it's supposed to be kind of an escapism kind of movie. That,
right.
Like, Bond is supposed to be, you know, invincible.
Sean Connery.
You know, he's supposed to be invincible. He's supposed to, you know, be badass. He's supposed to know all the tricks up his sleeve. He's supposed
right.
to lay all the women. Because in reality, it's supposed to be like an escapism for the male fantasy.
It's a male fantasy escapism.
So when you look at, when you, you know, you have that view, and then you look at the Daniel Craig movies, and it kind of is like they stripped that away. Because they wanted it to be more of a cynical, which, by the way, is still a thread that is present in some of the Bond movies. That's not necessarily that out of the realm. But I feel like they kind of stripped it away too much. And this kind of, they tried to kind of made it like a family drama kind of a thing with the kid.
But they didn't do it right.
So, I don't know. I mean, this is going to be a weird analogy.
Okay.
This is like a plate of meatloaf that, like...
You're right, it is weird.
Like, it's like a plate of meatloaf that, like, the mashed potatoes and the gravy and, like, your vegetables kind of got all meshed up in it. And, like, you take a fork out of it, you take a, you know, a spite, you know, a bite out of it with your fork, and it tastes good, but you're like, I don't know if I would have liked all of those things thrown together.
You wanted the mashed potatoes like, and the vegetables. You're one of those people that like the divided plate, so you can keep your things kind of separate.
No, it depends. Some things I do like things mixed. But
meatloaf not.
Yeah, meatloaf, no. Meatloaf should have its own texture because you don't want it mixing with the mashed potatoes.
So you're a meat and potatoes guy, not a meat with potatoes guy.
I don't want the potatoes. I don't want the potatoes in the meat.
Okay.
If that makes sense.
That makes sense.
And I think that's what No Time to Die is.
No Time to Die is meat with the potatoes in it.
Yeah, and I think it kind of, it still tastes good, but it's like...
But you're confused.
Yeah.
You take a bite and you're like, I wasn't expecting that. I don't know if I like it. I kind of like the way meat used to taste.
Yeah.
I'm conflicted and confused. I'm going to keep eating it.
Right. I still enjoy it, but I'm not sure this is the way I want my dinner to go.
Yeah.
So
I can definitely get on board with that analysis. Yeah.
Put that in your byline for the review of this.
No Time to Die. It's like meat, but with potatoes in it.
Yeah. Rich Liebig.
Rich Liebig 2021.
Film critic.
Film critic.
There you go.
Oh, man.
Put that in a byline. I want to see that. There you go. That's my analysis. And there you go. That's the entertainment entree for this week and a review of No Time to Die.
That was breathtaking.
Thank you.
But you know what else is breathtaking, Rich? This final segment of the show. It's time for the Wacky, the Wild, the always entertaining non-fortune cookie odd news.
We've been talking about cool and its ramifications and how it applies to the hip scene. But maybe you could give us some examples now of the opposite of cool. Uncool. Just exactly what is uncool?
My nipples look like milk duds.
Holy shnikes.
It's time for the non-fortune cookie odd news.
It's not of this world. I don't know exactly what it is or what it's doing, but this is not human intelligence, okay? It's not human intelligence we're facing!
How you doing? Me? I'm doing great.
Mandada bastata. I don't make this stuff up.
I'll take a pound of nuts.
That's a lot of nuts! That'll be $4, baby! You want fries with that?
I seen the celery dance across the baseball fields.
You had me at meat tornado.
No, go past this. Past this part. In fact, never play this again.
Okay! what does that mean?
And now, it's time for the non-fortune cookie odd news.
So, sit back, get everything you need to get from the kitchen. Be sure and empty the bladders, go to the bathroom, because you're in for a hell of a ride.
Odd news.
That's right, everybody. It's time for the non-fortune cookie odd news here in this segment. Rich researches the news, he reads the news, and I react to the news. He finds a weird, wacky story and keeps it hidden from me, which ensures that my reactions are my genuine gut reactions to hearing this story for the very first time. I don't know what's about to happen. You guys don't know what's about to happen. And even Rich doesn't know what's about to happen because these stories always take us down wacky and wild paths. And I'm ready to get started. Rich, where are we heading to first? It's Florida.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, of course it is. Why would it be any different?
Now, who is this guy in Florida?
It's Florida, and they're crazy.
Oh,
I always got to ask.
Yep.
Because every once in a while we take a break, but then we come right back home to Florida.
Yep, the bread and butter.
That's right.
We come right back. All right. So, man, this is just another one of those things. If you're listening on the podcast, get your imagination caps on, because this is another just crazy thing to imagine. Going to Titusville in Florida.
Okay.
Titusville police officers found a Florida man sitting in his front yard, holding a sword, chugging a bottle of rum, and trying to start a fire, according to the police report here. Yep, so there you go. He's ready to go.
That is quite the afternoon.
So
once again, sword.
Sword.
Beer.
Rum.
Oh, rum, sorry.
Yeah, no, yeah, he's full-blown rum
here. He went straight past beer, straight to rum, okay.
And trying to start fires.
Okay.
So there you go.
All right.
The Holy Trinity there.
Did you say he was naked, or did I just imagine that part?
No, he was not naked.
Okay. For some reason...
Usually they're naked.
Every story in Florida, I immediately strip the person down to their underwear. I feel like that is their natural state in Florida.
Yeah. When police got to the man's house, police saw that the flames were reaching 4 feet high.
Okay, so this was not him trying to start a fire. This was him actively standing in front of a raging inferno. 4 feet is not
small. If I were the man I was 5 years ago, I'd take a flamethrower to this place.
Woo! Yeah.
There you go.
Wow. Obscure Al Pacino quote that I just found hidden in the depths of my soundboard.
If I were the man I was 5 years ago, I'd take a flamethrower to this place.
Thank you, Al.
There you go. I mean, it sounds like...
He couldn't wait for you to finish, by the way. Sorry.
I know. You were just so eager. You're like, ooh, Al Pacino. You're just so eager.
I forgot I had that stored on the soundboard here.
If I were the man I was 5 years ago, I'd take a flamethrower to this place.
Investigators said that the suspect, 37-year-old Scott Taylor, was drinking more... had finished more than two-thirds of the handle of Captain Morgan.
Wow, that's a lot.
Yeah. And the flames were within 20 feet of his neighbor. So, yeah, I guess it was...
That's pretty close. I mean...
I guess that was a good thing that the police showed up, because... Yeah.
Also, 4 feet of flame, I mean, like, I'm almost 6 feet tall, so that's, you know, two-thirds of my height. That's a lot of... It seems like a big flame to me.
Yeah, especially that close to the house, yeah.
Doesn't that seem like a big flame to you?
Yeah, especially 20 feet of the... Yeah.
I mean, anything more than, like, a barbecue grill, and I'm like, oh, I start getting nervous,
you know? Yeah, police, can you deal with this, please? The fire's getting closer and closer.
Yeah, and this guy's not stopping his rum-drinking ways. He also has a sword.
So, yeah, he's a sword on
him. Let's not forget that if the fire doesn't get somebody, the sword will at one point, because I assume that after he finishes the last third of that bottle, right?
Yeah.
You know, the sword's going to look a bit more enticing to someone who's an entire bottle down.
By the way, that's not the only alcohol he had, because police also noted that he was, quote, surrounded by formerly filled containers of alcohol. So he also had more alcohol besides the two-thirds of the handle of Captain Morgan.
So he is well and truly...
Yeah. This guy
What kind of alcohol? I mean, it doesn't matter at that point.
Yeah, it just said open containers of alcohol.
Okay.
So I don't... I guess, though, if he's on Captain Morgan by now, I guess it was other spirits, other liquors, if you will.
I guess so. I feel like if you're hitting an entire bottle of Captain Morgan, you're not starting with Miller Lite.
Yeah, right? So he was trying to create a fire here. Yeah, he's got the sword. But luckily, cops were able to get him into custody relatively easy. But then things picked up again.
Of course.
Because arriving at the county jail, police noted that the man Taylor got very angry and decided to break the fire sprinkler in his cell with just his head.
Ah!
Wow.
How?
Wow.
Ah!
He
He banged his head.
Kind of hard?
He banged his head so hard on the fire sprinkler that it ruptured in the cell.
Aren't they also like in the ceiling? How did he get up there?
Maybe he got like the bunk bed and like just like headbutted it.
Oh, maybe. Yeah, that's a good point.
But that's still a lot of effort.
That's a lot of effort. Also, I'm pretty sure those things hurt like hell. Like, they're solid metal, aren't they?
Yeah, they're. Yeah.
I don't know what they're made. Somebody tell me, what are they? I think they're made out of metal, right?
The old time ones are the spigots with the they're hard metal.
Ow.
Yeah, that's gonna leave a mark. that's gonna hurt. Officers said that resulted in over $1,000 worth of damage. So,
yeah, that makes sense.
Also, police noted that when they ran a background check on Mr. Scott Taylor here, they noted that he was also convicted of trying to start illegal fires earlier in his past as well. So this is not the first time.
Fires plural.
Yeah, so this is not the first time that he's tried to start a fire. He loves to start that fire.
Yeah, he's an arsonist.
If I were the man I was 5 years ago, I'd take a flamethrower to this place.
By the way, I have his mugshot.
Ooh, yeah,
are you ready to see his mugshot?
Yeah.
Scott Taylor over here. There he is. That is his real mugshot. There he is.
God, that was after he hit the fire sprinkler, I think. So, all right. So for audio listeners, I mean, this dude is just, I mean, he's standing like, what is he like? Like mouth agape? Like he looks like a fish. Like a bloated, bloated fish.
He looks like when they took the mugshot of him, he got shocked by something either in front of him or up his butt or something.
How many teeth does he have?
He's got teeth, but they're like angled the wrong way.
From back here, it seems like he's just got one chomper.
No, he's got...
I'm not as close as everyone else.
He's got teeth, but they're like angled the wrong way.
Yeah. He looks very concerned and shocked, but his mouth is like weirdly oval like. That's an awful picture.
Boy.
That's what you look like after you drink an entire bottle of Captain Morgan by yourself.
Yep. With a samurai sword.
With a samurai sword.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Wow, there you go. What
that's Titusville right there. Titusville, Florida.
What a mugshot.
Summed up with a single picture.
By the way, I love the fact, I know if you're on the audio podcast, you didn't see this, but if you noticed on the mugshot, the police department actually had like their Facebook page on the bottom. Did you see that? Wait a minute. Go back.
Wait, pull it back up.
Wait. So it has their Facebook account. They knew that this mugshot was going to be reported everywhere across the country in their odd news segments. That they were like, hey, let's get some branding on that. People are going to be using this mugshot.
I mean, that's just good marketing.
That's good marketing. There. Good job, Brevard County Sheriff's Department.
Wow.
Look, they got the name on the top. They got the URL at the bottom.
That's impressive. They know what they're doing.
There you go. Marketing.
Damn.
Marketing, marketing, marketing.
There you go.
Good job, Brevard County Sheriff's Department.
That's impressive. They definitely know a thing or two.
See, now what... See, if look, police departments. All right, I got an idea. If you guys are going to go this far, why don't you guys actually ship us the odd news directly?
Ooh,
and then be like, and don't forget to hit the like and subscribe button.
That's right. We can work out like a content sharing deal. You
yeah.
know,
international
cross promotion,
some sort of like national odd news
hotline database. Yeah.
Yeah. And don't forget to like and subscribe your local sheriff's department.
That's right, yeah.
There you go.
Hey, even the sheriff's department needs to have an online presence nowadays, right?
There you go. Especially with mugshots like that. That needs to be seen all over the world.
Oh, absolutely.
So sorry if you're just listening to the audio podcast of this, but...
Well, get on that video podcast, guys.
Yeah, check out the Facebook and YouTube feed because you got to see the photo of this. But there you go. That's what I have for you this week. In the non-Fortune Cookie Odd News. Woo, there you go, man. Also, by the way, I'm going to go watch Scent of a Woman now, just because I forgot about that sound clip.
If I were the man I was 5 years ago, I'd take a flamethrower to this place.
Yeah.
You are loving that.
Yeah, I forgot about that. Oh, my boy Al. All right. With that, it's time to start wrapping this up because I got to go watch A Scent of a Woman now.
Okay.
Because I want to go enjoy that movie. But if you like what you heard here on this podcast, make sure you decide to go to our website, thecrispynoodle.com. Make sure you're following us on all the social media platforms, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, the whole shebangabang. Look, if you're going to follow your local sheriff's department Facebook, you might as well follow us too, because we all got the same odd news stories that we're going to report from the local sheriff's offices.
That's right, but we do it with a bit more humor.
Yeah.
And in addition to the whole shebangabang, make sure you subscribe to the Crispy Noodle Podcast's YouTube channel, where you get the video version of the podcast as well as a whole bunch of other fun videos. But you can also still get the audio version of the podcast by subscribing on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, and Amazon devices. So make sure you search for, download, and subscribe to the Crispy Noodle Podcast on either YouTube or the podcast service of your choice.
That's right. We also have a SoundCloud page where we have mini noodle promos. Check that out as well to have a quick laugh over some memories in the past.
Memories.
Yeah.
But in addition to all that, there's so many ways to share and get in touch with the Crispy Noodle Podcast. If you want to get in touch with us individually, you can find us on Twitter. You can send your sports, entertainment, or odd news stories there. I'm at Mikey Costanzo, MikeyCostanzo.
And I am at Rich Liebig, RichLiebig. You can find us on the Twitters. I'm also on Instagram as well. Let us know what's up. Let us know if there's a news story you want us to talk about, or if you have any comments on anything that we said on this episode. Did you agree with our review of No Time to Die? If you saw it, let us know. Did you like the odd news story? Do you want to start a fire? Let us know.
Anything.
Anything. Let us know.
That's right.
We'll read it on next week's episode. It'll be great.
Absolutely.
Do you want to start a fire?
It doesn't have to be a fire.
Please don't. Please help your local sheriff's department.
That's Frozen 3. The ice has melted.
Yeah. So we'll follow that up next week. But for right now, we got to wrap this up. This has been the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Let us be the crispy noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news. That'll do it. We'll see you guys next week.
See you guys
later. Bye-bye, all you fine peoples.
Some of us have great stories, pretty stories that take place at lakes with boats and friends and noodle salad. A lot of people, that's their story. Good times, noodle salad.